we are welcoming Kelly O'Hara, Team USA, Women's World Cup right around the corner. And she joins us on the attack. Nice to have you with us, Kelly. Bob Black, Joe Spano.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's terrific to have you on board. You know, we have a lot of world-class athletes that we interview on this show. And one of the common themes that we're finding, particularly with people who deal with endurance, is chocolate milk. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, so chocolate milk is backed by science and known to be a great recovery drink. So it's really important as a professional athlete to put in work on the field, but it's equally important to be able to refuel after a workout and make sure you're doing the things off the field that you need to be ready for your next one. So chocolate milk gives me that ability.
You know, and it's funny. We as athletes, whether it be on the highest competitive level like yourself or weekend warriors like myself or, you know, but serious weekend warriors, we spend a lot of time, effort, and dollars trying to find supplementation that will give us an edge. And I know I've done every protein powder and combined it with every possible thing that you could think of at quite an expense and quite an effort to myself for post-workout recovery. The realities are the quick-acting sugars and the various protein sources within milk end up making it the perfect recovery drink, and you could save yourself a lot of money and a lot of effort just by buying a half gallon of chocolate milk.
Exactly, and, you know, it's easy access. You know, you can find it at a gas station if you're on the road. It's in every grocery store you go to, so you're never going to be in a place that you wouldn't be able to get your hands on some chocolate milk.
Kelly, World Cup around the corner, and there was a friendly last week against Mexico. The shutout streak got broken, but you guys put a pretty bad hurt on Mexico, and it looks like you're peaking at the right time.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's exactly what we want to happen. You know, you kind of go through the ups and downs when you're building towards a world tournament, and that's important when you're implementing new style and, you know, working with a new system. And I think that last weekend shows that we're peaking just at the right time, and hopefully we hit the very peak July 5th for the championship.
You know, you talk about that new coach, new system, new approach. Describe that to us a little bit. What's different between now and a couple of years back?
Yeah, so we have a new coach, Jill Ellis, and a couple new assistants, and they have implemented a new style of play for us and kind of, you know, tweaked the system a little bit and asked us to do some different things on the field in terms of, you know, starting positions and how we want to break down different defenses. So it's exciting because you always want to be evolving and progressing the game, and I think that we've been doing that.
Well, Kelly, how long do those changes take to become a positive? And what I mean is, as athletes, we're instinctual. And it's not about thinking, it's about doing. How long does it take for it to translate from, I have to think before I do, to it just becomes muscle memory and instinctual and I just do?
I think it just depends on the person, you know, and maybe the team. Thankfully, we are at that point where I think that it is happening instinctually. So, you know, it's always difficult, and it might feel a little weird at times when you are playing a new system or a style of play. But at the end of the day, you know, we've come around right at the right time. So it's a good thing, and I'm happy that that's coming about.
Well, you're one who's always been open to change. You were somebody that played forward your entire career, and you jumped to the back line back in 2012 to jump on the U.S. national team. Talk about that transition a little bit and how difficult that was.
Yeah, you know, I did. I played forward my whole life, you know, played my 4 years of college at Stanford at forward, and then when the 2012 Olympics came around, Pia basically said, your only shot at making this team is if you play outside back. And I said, all right, let's do it. You know, obviously, it wasn't the easiest transition, and it took a lot of effort and attention to detail. And, you know, I probably spent more time watching video than I would have if I was playing a position I was familiar with. But at the end of the day, it is about being flexible. And as a soccer player, you can only hope to be a complete player. And hopefully, I think I'm working towards that, which is pretty cool.
You talk about Pia, the ex-coach of the team. And, you know, again, I want to take it back a little bit to what we were talking about in that. Was it a case of U.S. soccer wondering whether or not the rest of the world was getting closer and closer? I mean, the team was dominant for so long in most cases. Were they a little bit worried that the world was catching up to what we were doing?
You know, I think that in terms of the women's game, there used to be a lot more disparity. But I think that as these other nations have, you know, grown their women's program, teams are getting better and they're getting stronger because there's, you know, financing where they're used to not be in these other countries. But at the end of the day, you know, we have always been one of the top teams in the world, and if not the top team. And that's always our goal, and that's always our expectation of ourselves. And I don't know if – I don't think that had anything to do with Pia. I think Pia was ready to make a change for herself. But, you know – at the end of the day, we're always working to be the best, and we have that expectation. So it's just about focusing on that.
You guys look like you're peaking at the right time. Bob made mention to the 5-1 dismantling of Mexico in the friendly.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have the champion, you have this championship of this tournament coming up. You guys look like you're really peaking at the right time. Do you see that you guys are going to be all guns a-blazing for the Women's World Cup going forward?
Absolutely. That is exactly what I think we're going to be doing. And I'm really excited that the world's going to be able to watch and, you know, to see it all go down and to see what we have to bring to the world stage.
You know, we talked about the fact that it's starting to balance the playing field a little bit. Who are some of the bigger threats that you guys are seeing?
I think the countries out there that are going to put on a pretty good show are, you know, that France is doing really well as of recently. Japan, obviously, is a big rival of ours because, you know, that's who we lost to in the 2011 World Cup. We beat them in the 2012 Olympics, but they're a great team. They're always very solid. Germany and Sweden from, you know, over in Europe, they're always doing well. And then Brazil, you know, they're always pretty good, too. They've got Marta. So it's going to be fun to see all these teams compete and to see how these games go down.
Well, you know, we got a couple of minutes left, and I'll piggyback what Bob said. The landscape of women's soccer is expanding, number one. And number two, your dominance over the competition is shrinking. You know, women's soccer is really growing, and these other countries around the world are really getting good at it. You know, speak a little bit to that and how, you know, the pitch is balanced, as it were, and some of these other countries are competing with you guys so ably.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great for women's soccer. The more top teams we have, the better, because it keeps games interesting and, you know, it grows. It shows that the women's game is growing around the world, which is exactly what we want. You know, we don't want it to just be big in America. We want women's soccer to be big all over, because soccer is, you know, the global sport. And I think it's important that the women's side of it gets to the level of the men's. And, you know, at the end of the day, if that means our games are harder, so be it. We still, you know, we want to be the best. And we're okay with having a little bit more competition.
What's next for you after the World Cup?
We just go straight back into our season with our NWSL teams, which is the pro league here in the U.S. for women. So they'll play. They go on a little bit of a break during the World Cup, but the games will start right back up, and it goes through September. So hopefully for me, win a championship with that team as well.
So no thoughts of stepping off the stage after the World Cup?
Is Fox stepping up the stage?
No, I said no thoughts of you stepping off the stage after the World Cup.
Oh, gosh, no. No, no, no. I plan on playing for at least a couple more years. Yeah, no, I'm having a great time playing right now. I love it. So I'm no thoughts of leaving yet.
Well, Kelly, we appreciate the couple minutes. It's all about chocolate milk and replenishment. And good luck going forward. We'll love to have you back.
Thank you guys so much.
Thank you. Kelly O'Hara.